Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Oh, wow. I'm so excited to be here with the stars of Rutherford Falls. Talking about in just the characters and the second season coming up. I just have to say that the last interview I had, I got really emotional, and I'm starting to get there right now. I really appreciate what you've done, Sierra, to represent Native Americans the way you have, and also all the inside jokes and all the fast writing. It's like, wow, did I just hear what I thought I heard? But I just have to say this real quick. I think one of the most underrated shows was Happy Endings.
Oh, thank you so much.
That was funnier than heck. So when I saw you were involved with that, I just had to say that, because that show is pretty underrated. I know it's not my demographics. I'm an elder, so I have to laugh quietly when I see stuff like that. But that was a good one.
Thank you.
And Michael, I am just so happy to be here with you. I can't look at you without thinking of that segment last season about the casino and capitalism. How long did it take to write that? And also, how long did it take to shoot that? That was just amazing, Michael.
Oh, thank you very much. The writers took a long time to craft that. It was, obviously it was a room that was writing it, even though Rupinder Gill ultimately wrote that specific speech. It's a showstopper, like it's one of those speeches that I've said before, I've waited an entire career to get, because of its complexity, because of how sophisticated it is. I actually did a Terry talk where I talked about how I had to prepare for that. And I think my Terry talk was like an hour and 15, because it was a really complex job. And it took us an entire afternoon, like most of a day, to film that. And I remember it was a real struggle, because I had to match that writing. I had to, as a performer, bring, I was being given fastballs. Like, these are, really complex, a really complex series of scenes. And I had to swing. I'd swing hard. And I remember being frustrated because I felt like I wasn't doing enough. But Sierra and Sydney Freeland, the director, were there. And they just kept giving me notes. And Dustin Milligan was my scene partner. He was so great. In the end, it's one of my proudest moments on screen. So the effort was worth it.
There's like 100,000 views. And I think because my real job, I have a radio show that's national 5 days a week. But my real job is I'm a tribal legislator for Ho-Chunk Nation. And so I watch that quite often. And it hits me. And I really appreciate the writing, Sierra, and the acting, and you did hit this fastball. I think I watch it, and it's legitimate, and it really helps me get centered in a good way.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much for saying that. That means a great deal.
Thank you.
I got to say a couple things here, Sierra. Bobby Wilson I was a high school teacher in St. Paul, and Bobby Wilson was one of my students.
And
Bobby's been on our radio show many times, and we really have to be close to the beep button, because I didn't realize he swore as much as he did.
Oh, but, like a sailor.
Yeah. A native sailor.
Oh, yeah.
Well. And then Dallas Goldtooth, too. He's a legend here in the Twin Cities.
That's,
he's
of course.
Been on my show a few times. And I see that he's getting a little more air, or getting some airtime in season two, which is exciting. The writing is rapid fire, and you really have to pay attention and, again, rewind and watch it again. I've watched the show a couple times, and I've just totally cracked up because of the inside jokes. It's almost like watching – I'm an old person. It's almost like watching the Flintstones, where there was adult humor, and then there was kid humor, and now we have native humor. And Wasichu humor.
Yeah, no, I worked in television comedy, network comedy for, you know, over 10 years now. And every boss I've had, there's this thing called a one percenter, you know, where it's just a joke that the showrunner likes and maybe 1% of the country is going to get it. But I don't care. I really like this joke. I believe in it. And so when I got my show, I was like, oh, I get to have one percenters. Like, this is so great. But there was also a room of native writers and non-native writers. And when we got certain jokes in, I was like, oh, that's going to make my mom laugh, or that's going to make my uncles laugh. Like, and if, you know, if it passed the uncle test, we got to put it in. And so there's, and seeing the native writers, or the native actors laugh during table reads and like recognize, you know, when we say that Terry's cooler than Billy Jack, you know, everyone loves that line because that's a dream. And I would say that Michael lives up to the hype. So it is, it's a great feeling to kind of have those, inside jokes be, you know, kind of displayed on a mainstream level.
Michael, when you read the script for the pilot, what were your feelings? Were you going, this is really unique? It's kind of, I mean, what's the difference between you seeing it on paper and then really acting? And how excited were you to work on this project?
I came to the casting process a little bit late. I think they'd been, you know, kind of like, working things out. There was another show that I was up for that, you know, would have been in conflict with Rutherford Falls. But then, you know, that show went away and, you know, I flew into screen test. And at the time I just had the sides, you know, and I was like, okay, so these sides are genius. They're so funny. And I was like, wait a second, I have to be funny. Like, nobody asked me to be funny in like nearly 30 years. No one's like, you know, like maybe once in a while, sort of a bit wry. And so when I finally got the scripts, I was like, okay, so this is actually history making. This is groundbreaking. We have not seen this. I haven't seen it, and I've seen like a lot of scripts and I watch a lot of TV. So I said, I have to be part of this. I have to be part of this, because it's going to change the conversation.
Right. And Michael, I have to ask this to you real quick, because you are an actor. What's easier, comedy or drama?
Drama.
Yeah.
Like by like a mile. comedy is like, if you're like in, like, let's take math. Like if you're like doing like, you know, fractions, you know, that's like drama. Calculus, that's comedy. Like, that's trig, right? So, you know, we have to work faster. We have to have more options. They'll come to you after a take, you know, the directors or CR, and go, okay, that was great. We got that. Try it this way. And then they'll ask you to have like come at it from a slightly different angle and move through the material in a slightly different way. And then come out on the other side a little bit different. There's a flexibility that comedic actors have to have that I wasn't aware of until I started working on the show. And my respect for actors who are primarily known for their comedy just skyrocketed, because I realized that what they're doing is a high wire act, where if they don't laugh, they fall, right? So it's even more high pressure than drama.
Yeah.
I will say that Michael's being too humble. If math is the metaphor, you mastered calculus in like no time. So there's so good many. Enough. Well, no, that's the beauty of season two is, you know, we had this idea of who Terry Thomas was season one, and Michael just knocked out of the park. But there would be these sort of flicks and looks and things of like, what is that? And let's explore that. And so really getting to kind of mine the comedy from Michael this year has been so, so fun.
That's awesome too. And I just got to give a shout out to the casino workers and the foil that they are. That was brilliant to put them in. And I have my dogs barking in my studio. Don't worry about it. It happens during my radio show. All
okay.
The time. So it's kind of a natural thing. And the cat really wants to get in on the show. We do it on YouTube and StreamYard along on radio at the same time. So, but that was brilliant, Sierra. I mean, just coming up with these characters and, you know, to make Nathan's character likable, but not not in a bad way when it comes to natives going, here's a white savior. I don't feel that from that character.
No, not at all. I think to me, you know, you always see characters on television kind of getting flattened and they're always kind of one note. And our goal was not to just give complexity to the native characters, but to all the characters, because I feel like that is more reflective of our life and the sort of compromises and true friendships that we have in this weird kind of time that we're living in. But no, and I love Wayne and Sally. They're my favorite comedy duo maybe ever. Yeah. I don't think you can have a native show without a fair amount of teasing, and they sort of represent that element of our community.
Right. I keep telling Sierra that they're production, you know, like the spin-off comedy is the Wayne and Sally thing.
From your mouth to creator's ears, Michael.
Well, I am wrapping up here. I have not been paying attention to the cues here, but I really, really appreciate it in a good way of what you've done. And I just got to give a quick teaser, Michael. You're a very good dancer. I just want to throw that out there real quick so people can be ready to watch the show of the second season. Sierra, Michael, Pinigigi, thank you so, so much for speaking with me.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. And I hope everybody enjoys season 2 of Rutherford Falls, June 16th on Peacock. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Now, more than ever, we are being faced daily with the topic of human mortality. And for many people, estate planning has been top of mind. Getting your estate planning done now can be easy and cost-effective. Schroman Law offers virtual options for initial consultations so that new clients can safely initiate the process. With many facing uncertain financial situations, Schroman Law also offers affordable fees for legal documents. Learn more at schromanlaw.com. That's schromenlaw.com.
Hi, Minnesota. This is David Pakman, and you can catch my show weekdays at 2 p.m. for the latest in political news on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Cafe Latte offers made-from-scratch soups, salads, sandwiches, and mouth-watering desserts.
So come check out their pizza and wine bar, or get a treat from the bakery made fresh daily. Plus, you can still do online ordering and takeout, along with gift cards. Just go to cafelatte.com and choose from their ever-changing selection of award-winning salads, sandwiches, and soups. Cafe Latte is located off Victoria and Grand and online at cafelatte.com.
2022 continues to be a hot real estate market, and any advantage you gain could net you thousands of dollars. If you do plan to move at some point, installing a system from All Energy Solar could increase your resale value and help you sell your home faster. Energy costs will not be going down anytime soon, so a property with a solar energy system could make it much more attractive to potential buyers. Buyers consider electric bills when buying a home, and installing solar panels is viewed as an upgrade. Each kilowatt of solar energy could increase the resale value of your home by thousands of dollars. And even when you sell your home, you'll likely recoup the cost of switching to solar thanks to your increased property value. So if you plan to sell your home, make your home as attractive as possible to buyers by switching to All Energy Solar. Get a free, no-obligation assessment from All Energy Solar by calling 800-620-3370 or visiting allenergysolar.com. That's allenergysolar.com.
As the weather warms up, now is the perfect time to prepare for summer reading, and Next Chapter Booksellers can help. Not sure what to get? The friendly staff at Next Chapter Booksellers are great at making recommendations to find books that fit your taste. Next Chapter Booksellers also hosts many book readings and meet and greets with authors, and they sell a wide variety of puzzles and games, too. So stop by the store off Snelling and Grand in St. Paul or place an order online at nextchapterbooksellers.com.
Nightingale is your cozy, comfortable neighborhood restaurant in the Whittier neighborhood at 26th and Lindale. Nightingale has patio, dining room, and bar seating available. Plus, they still have takeout and delivery. Their menu has lots of delicious options like the famous Nightingale Burger and Fries, Ginger Tamari Chicken Wings, Smoked Chicken Liver Pate, and more. They're open from 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. daily with their full menu until midnight. So make the friendly neighborhood Nightingale your go-to restaurant in South Minneapolis. Place an order, make a reservation, and more at nightingalempls.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
I think I smell that, too. I think a Bobby Yang spinoff would be amazing. In season two, we see Bobby Yang run for mayor. So I think they're on a trajectory to have their own spinoff.
And I think it's so important, too, for being Native to see our two spirit people represented in a great show like this. It really warms my heart to watch the show. And I think, you know, Dustin, I think the show really has a lot of heart. And I'm really, really, I don't know, I'm really excited to be here talking to you two. What are your thoughts on the heart? I know you came from another show that ended with a lot of heart, too, and jumped into this show. I don't know, I'm getting teary-eyed.
I think it's something that, you know, it's rare. You don't always get opportunities to be a part of things where immediately just from reading it right off the page, there's something deeper that resonates. And, you know, there are with this show, there are so many complicated, deep themes for all of the characters. Like every character has something going on with them that in a lot of ways is, very complex and oftentimes misunderstood story arcs and themes going on with them. And I think what's beautiful about the show is that, yeah, it tackles them, but in such a way where there is heart, but it's always lighthearted and heartfelt at the same time. It's never going overboard in one direction or the other. It's never bypassing any of these issues, but it's also not ever being letting the issues themselves take away from just the joy, specifically Native joy. That's something Sierra talks about all the time that she really wants to be pushing is like, no one person is monolithic, is representative of just one type of story. And I think specifically with indigeneity, so often in film and television, it's a storyline that is stuck only in the past without ever expressing sort of the modern version of it and the modern stories that need to be celebrated just as much and need to be talked about just as much. And that balance is so incredible to have that going while still also just making everyone laugh. Like it's joke after joke after joke. And it's just such a wonderful thing to be a part of and very, very rare. So I think both of us are feeling quite lucky that we have this second season coming.
Yeah, I'm truly blessed to watch this too. And I think one of the things that I've noticed, Jesse, is that there are so many jokes going on. You really have to pay attention. And I know there's a lot of Native inside jokes, but there's just, it's the writing is really unique where there's like double meanings and people will laugh at certain things and other things might go over their head, Jesse. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. Yeah, you have to pay attention to the jokes for sure. We have 6 Native American writers staffed on the show, which is one of the biggest Native American writers room on television right now. And the jokes are fresh and they're unique and they're told by new Native American voices, newer Native American comedians, and the jokes are amazing. And I think I can speak for both of us when we we feel lucky to be telling those jokes on screen.
Also, it's good for Peacock. If you don't get the jokes and you got to rewatch that episode a couple times to get all the jokes, that's fine. Get those viewing numbers up. That's cool with us.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think I just want to say again, it's really awesome to see Jesse, you representing of in normalizing a big part of our community out there. And I just want to say, Peeny Geeky, thank you so much for that. Really, it's courageous and it's beautiful all in the same same breath. And Two-Spirit, Native Americans were revered a long, long time ago in our tribe. So to have you represent the way you are is in a good way. I just want to say, Peeny Geeky, thank you. Yeah, and Dustin, I just want to ask you a quick thing about I'm a former teacher, so I know Bobby Wilson was a student of mine.
Wow, really?
Yeah, he's been on my radio show a few times.
Oh, cool.
And I know Dallas Goldtooth really well. I'm in the Twin Cities, and my radio show is in Chicago, Milwaukee, and Madison, and I'm on 5 days a week, so I have those guys on every once in a while. But I want to back up a second, and I just want to talk about, because my real job is I'm a tribal legislator for Ho-Chunk Nation in Wisconsin. And I watch a couple times, well, at least two or three times a month, your interaction with,
with Terry, you know, Michael Gray Eyes.
Yeah, the capitalism discussion. And how did that go, and how long did that take to shoot? And the writing was phenomenal.
Yeah, that I think it was episode 4 of season 1, and it was such a beautiful thing. You know, I've talked about it before, where I had the privilege of growing up in a town called Yellowknife, almost in the subarctic of Canada, and we were lucky enough to have to be educated in some of the, in indigenous culture of the region there as we were growing up. And it was something, though, that I didn't quite understand how much that was lacking until I moved down south and just saw basically that there was just nothing being talked about in terms of indigenous story. And so to then be in LA in a studio show, and have Michael Gray Eyes, an icon of certainly Canadian film and television, but just in general film and television. He's been so good for so long. To have him go through that methodically and so just so beautifully, along with the help of Sierra as well, and to have him sort of go through that and to feel him feeling his way through that speech and feeling those words and watching him draw on his own well. It was just a masterclass in acting, but also just something that was resonating with me very deeply on a personal level. Just thinking about all of the kids everywhere who would be seeing this beautiful performance and feeling it themselves and interpreting for themselves. And there was no doubt in my mind that them watching him delivered that there were people who were being inspired in that moment to go off and tell their own stories, tell their own versions of their upbringing, and to also celebrate their joy, the native joy that I think the show does so well to celebrate, to also go forward and do that themselves. It was an incredible moment. And truly, I say this with no hyperbole, one of the most important moments, not just of my career, but of my life.
Wow. Peeny Geeky. Well, I see we have to get going here soon. I just want to say, keep on doing what you're doing. I really feel grateful, to speak with both of you. And I didn't think I'd get emotional, but I'm emotional right now. And Peeny Geeky, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.